We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
How are you this afternoon? I want to thank everybody for joining us. I know that it is a holiday weekend. I am so glad everyone is here at Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt. I am the lead pastor here, and I'm just glad to be with all of you guys. 41,000. Here at Redemption Church, I've got to warn you, we never shy away from controversy. But that's because your Bible is the most controversial book ever written. You ever think about it that way? Your Bible is the most controversial book ever written. Every time we look in the Word of God, doesn't it confront us? Doesn't it point out our actions that are wrong? Doesn't it just turn the world on its head? That's the Bible that we read. I want to prepare you that this is going to be confrontational today. It's going to be a challenge. And it may be uncomfortable, but hey, if there's one thing Chris Fluitt does well, it's uncomfortable, right? Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, 3 through 6. Read this with me. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Looking at the scripture, would you agree that there ought to be unity in the body of Christ? Would you agree that we need to be unified? After all, there is one body, there's one Spirit, there's one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and He is Father of all. Amen. So there ought to be unity. Yet, there are approximately 41,000 Christian denominations and organizations. So much for one, right? The church has splintered over the years, but not just splinters. The splinters now have splintered, and now it's just this crazy mess. Anyone that's looking at Christianity usually looks and goes, I don't even know where to begin, which church is the right church, where do I go? Here's the deal. The church seems better at splitting and dividing than adding and multiplying. Which one do you think Jesus called us to go do? Go and make, right? Make disciples. Go and add. He's the one that adds to the church. But yet, the church somehow is better at splitting and dividing. I want to tell you very, with all my heart, as passionately as I can, it should not be this way. If you can agree with me on anything today, can you agree with me on this? There should not be 41,000 denominations and organizations, and they're always fighting each other, and they're always saying bad things about each other. It should not be this way. Redemption Church, do you believe that? Amen. What I find very sad is that this separation in the church is, one of the main divides is salvation. That's crazy, because what ought to unify us? What is that one hope? What is that one faith? What is that one Lord, God, Father of all? Is this plan of salvation? And yet, it's what divides most of these 41,000 denominations and organizations. I reiterate, it should not be this way. And I've come to confront this fact. 41,000 denominations with big disagreements over salvation. It should not be this way. When investigating a church, you have to figure out what brand of salvation they preach. Have you ever been there? You're looking for a church, and you're looking at their website. You're like, what do these people believe? They might believe something really weird. What is up with this? What brand of salvation do they preach? It shouldn't be this way, because there's only one brand name for salvation. Only one brand name. There's only one standard for salvation. What is it, Redemption Church? It is Jesus Christ. And Peter agrees with you, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says this after he's just been beaten on his back. He's been beaten and he says, Acts 4, 12, look at it. Salvation is found in no one else, talking about Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. If there is a brand name for salvation, let it be Jesus. Today I'm asking you to rethink salvation. Rethink salvation. Don't define salvation according to denominational lines, because that gets really confusing really quick with 41,000 of them. And don't pick and choose a few scriptures to say that's what salvation means when you've got the whole Bible to look at. Look at the entirety of Scripture. If you do an internet search for salvation steps, or maybe a search that says, what do I need to do to be saved? You get a lot of different results. It's human nature to want an instruction manual with quick, easy steps. In fact, you know, don't just tell me everything. Just give me the quick salvation for dummies steps. Just, can you do that for me? There's actually a book on that, Christianity for Dummies. It exists, all right? Our youth pastor has it, everyone. Praise God. I borrowed it. All right. We see this in Islam. Islam touts the five pillars of Islam. They need these five easy steps. And you must do these five things. And not just do them, you need to do them well in order for God to be happy with you. And in the Roman Catholic Church, they talk about the seven sacraments. And on down denominational lines, this keeps appearing. Many people find the idea of step-by-step process to salvation to be appealing. So they form a requirement list. What is required to be saved? What do I need to do to be saved? Let me tell you, salvation is not a requirement list. There is so much wrong with the perspective of requirement lists. And here's just a few. Number one, requirement lists become about us and our action rather than about Christ and his actions. It becomes about what we have done rather than the gospel. And what is the gospel, Redemption Church? It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection about Jesus. If salvation is about anything, let it be about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, requirement list is always looking for the bare minimum. It seems like an attempt to barter or haggle the lowest price. Well, let's see. This church says I need to do five things. But I found a church that says I only need to do three things. I just found a better salvation deal. All I have to do is use this coupon, and they take off one of the steps. You laugh at that, but there are churches out there that believe that. You can pay penance. But all right. Let me just tell you, it's not about a salvation deal. You are not buying a car. This is your eternal soul. All right? So let's get this redemption, requirement list out of here. Number three, it leads to a salvation by works where we try to earn our salvation. Let me tell you that salvation is a gift, and gifts are not earned. They're given. So salvation is not a requirement list. Am I in agreement? Do I need to go further? You agree that salvation is not meant to be a requirement list. Here is what salvation is. Salvation is Jesus. Amen. Salvation is Jesus. I could really clarify 41,000 denominations and organizations really quickly with that, those three words right there. Salvation is Jesus. How dare we get it all confused? You can clap for your salvation. It's Jesus. Clap for him. Salvation is about Jesus. It's about embracing Jesus. It's about choosing Jesus. It's about being close to Jesus. But let me tell you, the opposite is true. Damnation is about rejecting Jesus. It's about closing the doors to Jesus. It's about walking away from Jesus. You got me so far. Salvation and damnation. The whole difference is, where is Jesus in your life? If we live out our faith according to a requirement list, it becomes about missing hell and making heaven, rather than the foundation be that you are so in love with Jesus that you choose him above other things. We see that what the rich young ruler comes. He says, how do I get eternal life? Well, I've done these things. He made it about a requirement list. I've done all these things. And Jesus says, come with me. And he says, no, I can't go with you. I just wanted to know what things I needed to do. That's the story, folks. That's it. He was trying to live by a requirement list. And he lived by a requirement list, and Jesus left, and he didn't go with him. Are you willing to choose Jesus above everything? Let me tell you that salvation is not about heaven or hell. And this is really tricky because we fall for this one every time. We think salvation is about making heaven and missing hell. It's not about that. Salvation is Jesus. Amen. Salvation is not a denomination. It's not what church you go to. It's not how many scriptures you can quote. Salvation is a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, everything about Jesus saves you. Everything about him saves you. His gospel, it's salvation. His presence, his Holy Spirit, it's salvation. His word, it's salvation. His blood and forgiveness, what is it? It's salvation. His grace, his mercy, it's salvation. Let me clear when I tell you this. Let me be very clear. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need to be saved. Everything. You don't need to have Jesus and then add this other thing. He's all you need. This series is called Steps, but it is not about steps as in like a checklist or a to-do list. Well, step one, step two, step three, ta-da, you're saved. It is not about that. It is about taking steps to be closer to Jesus. Just like if I took one step towards you, I'd be that much closer to you. That is what this entire sermon series is about. It's about being one step closer to Jesus, your salvation. One step closer to Jesus, your joy and your peace, your happiness, your everlasting life, your strength and your hope. You need any of those things in your life? This sermon series is for you. It's about taking a step towards those things. I studied the writings of others in preparation for this series. Just so far, I've been pastor less than a year, and let me just give you a little quick in and out of what I find more depressing than anything. Theology books, my goodness. Now, the Bible, you can find hope. You open up a theology book, you don't always find hope. Well, I suffered through some writings in preparation for this series, and more than one person took this curious stance. This is what I would call orthodoxy in the church today. Look at this. They took the stance that any church that teaches you that there are requirements to salvation, that church is wrong, and that church is captured by legalism. And I would agree, in some instances, that would be true. These same people say that there are absolutely no requirements. Look at somebody and say, no requirements to being saved. And then they would run down denomination after denomination for their doctrinal stances. They would say, baptism, oh, that's not a requirement for salvation. And an encounter with the Holy Spirit, no, you don't need that. And turning from sin through repentance, no, that's not required. They even said confession isn't required. These are theologians that are well followed. Then they would say there are no requirements except all you need to do is believe. All you need to do is believe. And smack my head. It made me want to scream. Wait a second. You just wrote this whole chapter on how there's no requirements except you need to believe. Well, guess what? There are requirements. You had one. It's to believe, right? Just because you're holding to one requirement doesn't mean there are no requirements. Would you agree? I know it's simple logic. I'm going somewhere with it, I promise. But that is what the churches have done. With these 41,000 denominations, they've attacked each other because, oh, you require this, we don't require that, but we require this, and it's requiring that, and oh, we only require one thing, y'all are all dumb. That's over and over. That is church in America. I'm sick of it. You want to talk about requirement? Let's talk about requirement. Jesus Christ fulfills all requirement. The wages of sin is death. Sin requires death. And Jesus, he fulfills that requirement with his death. Only sinless blood can atone for sin. And the blood of Jesus, guess what? He fulfilled that requirement on and on. I'm really excited lately. I've been studying in the Old Testament. I've been studying the tabernacle. And you've got all the furniture in the tabernacle. And they all do special things. You've got the laver. You've got the brazen altar. You've got the Holy of Holies. On and on. There's all this furniture in the Old Testament. And when you study it out, guess what? Jesus fulfills all of that. He is the laver where you wash and you're made clean. He is the Holy of Holies where you can go into the presence of God. He is that brazen altar where the sacrifice is laid. Every requirement that was written for that Old Testament law of the tabernacle, you find it all in Jesus. Jesus requires, he fulfills all the requirements. If there are any requirements, it's all fulfilled in Jesus. He fulfills everything we need. He is the requirement. He is the requirement. But there is, however, nothing wrong with saying some things are required of you. He requires some things of you. In other words, you have to do something. Jesus fulfills the requirement. But there are still some things required of you. There are a growing number of doctrines that in one way or another deny that man plays a role in his own salvation. Let's say that again. They deny that man plays any role in his salvation. Some of these doctrines are monergism, and irresistible grace. Just two of these doctrines. And they claim that God saves man without man's cooperation. In fact, it's a denial of free will. If man didn't want to be saved, well, too bad. You have nothing to do with it. And these are actual doctrines written by really smart people that have read the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This relationship with Christ, this salvation, it requires some obedience. It requires a continued work from you. I didn't say it. Paul said it. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling, that doesn't mean every moment of your life you're scared to death, you're wondering if you're going to be saved or not. It means that you take it very seriously. You take it very seriously. Is there a more serious decision than, am I going to give my eternity to Jesus Christ? There's no bigger decision than that. But maybe you're beating me to this question. How can we reconcile these two ideas, Chris Fluitt? Here's one idea, that salvation is a free gift. But we've got this other idea from Paul that we must continue to work out our salvation. They seem juxtaposed. They seem opposite, right? One more time. Free gift of salvation. We must continue to work out our salvation. Free gift, work. Free gift, work. I love the words free gift. I'm not wild about work, right? We have to understand that Jesus is our salvation, right? That's the bottom line here. Jesus is our salvation. Your church membership, it's not your salvation. Jesus is. Your acts and deeds, they aren't your salvation. In fact, there are things you can do that the Bible tells you to do, right? You can do these things. But if Jesus Christ isn't at the bottom, at the basis for everything, if he is not your Savior, then it's not salvational. And we're going to read, we've read in the Bible, you've got that place in the Bible, they're going to stand on that day and they're going to say, what? We aren't saved, but we cast out demons in your name. We read in your Bible to do that, and we went and we did that. And what is he going to say? Depart from me. I never knew you. They had a salvation that wasn't built on this simple fact that Jesus is salvation. Let me change your thinking for a second. Salvation is a person. You hear all the time that truth is a person, is Jesus. Well, let me add one to it. Salvation is a person. When we're talking about salvation, it's not an act like, ding, suddenly you're saved. Salvationed. Suddenly you're saved. No, it's a person. Salvation is a person. The name Jesus means Jehovah is your salvation. Salvation is a person. You must have a relationship with this person. You can have this relationship with Jesus the Savior. And let me tell you, that relationship is a free gift. Because he's King of all kings. You could never make this relationship on your own. He has offered it to you. Amen. None of us could just suddenly decide, you know what? I think I'm going to have a relationship with President Obama. Let's do it. President Obama, let's be friends. How long would you be waiting? But if he called you up, right? Well, we've got one bigger than the president. We've got the King of Kings, and he has invited you into this relationship freely. In fact, he shouldn't have invited us into this relationship because of our past, because of our mistakes, because of our stupidity. But no, he has freely offered us forgiveness and brought us into this relationship. So if we're talking about a free gift, it's not ding, you're saved. It's you have relationship with the Lord Jesus freely. You understanding me yet? This is what Philippians 2 and 12 was talking about. On the other side of it. How many know that relationships take work? So you've got this free gift of a relationship, but you better know it takes some work. How many husbands out there know that that lady freely said yes when you asked her to marry you, but it's going to take some work down the ways. Not me, though, because I am so blessed. She's wonderful in every way. She amened it. Praise God. It's the best amen today. All right. Philippians 2 and 12 is talking about relationships that take work. It says a continued work. And let me point out, he's talking not to people that need to receive Jesus. He's talking to the Philippian church. He's talking to those that have always obeyed. We read it. And that they need to continue to work out their salvation. Who is salvation? Jesus. You need to continue to work out this saving relationship you have with Jesus. So here, that is how it's a free gift, but you better work on it. Everybody understand? We're moving on. If Jesus is our salvation, then every step towards Jesus is a salvational step. If you're the strength of your relationship is your salvation, if that he is your Savior and you are his is your salvation, then every step that takes you towards that, that embraces that, that strengthens that, that becomes a salvational step. You should do it every time. Amen. Every act of surrender to Jesus, it's salvational. Some of you, you were doing a salvational thing while y'all were worshiping today and you just didn't even realize it. Salvation is also a continued working. It's present tense. It's a continued working. Now this is going to clear up a lot of questions. Do I need to repent? Well, will it take you a step closer to Christ? Yes. What do you think, Redemption Church? Will repentance take you a step closer to Jesus? Yes, it will. So repent. Do I need to be baptized? Well, let me ask you, will it take you one step closer to Jesus through obedience and through the spiritual thing that happens in baptism? Will it? Yes, it will. Let's see. You should be baptized. Is this that difficult? It's no longer about fulfilling an obligation or a requirement. It's not, well, I checked that off and I still need to do this. No, it's not about those requirement lists. It's about taking the next step towards Jesus. Jesus is our salvation, and every step towards Jesus is a salvational step. Amen. But we get asked this a lot. I get asked this a lot. We just did our Google series a month and a half ago or something, and we got this question. Is there a moment of salvation? Is there a moment of salvation? Some way or another, we usually get this question. There are a lot of disagreements with this question. I've got two things really quickly to say about it. Is there a moment of salvation? Number one, the majority of churches end every service with a time for people to accept Christ. Agreed? I mean, that's the majority of churches. And they accept Christ as their personal Savior, and they invite them to say the sinner's prayer. And that is orthodoxy in the church. That is the accepted practice of the church. But it is nothing like how the New Testament church operated. Confrontational, not saying ill against our brothers and sisters, but when I look in the Word of God, it is nothing like the New Testament church. There is no such terminology on praying a salvational sinner's prayer within your Bible. It's not there. I'll gladly look through it with you. There is no terminology such as accepting Christ in your Bible. It's not in there. But upon publicly praying a repeat after me prayer, the ministry of these churches proclaim that everyone that said that prayer is now saved. I think it's time we rethought salvation according to Scripture, not according to denomination. I find it very troubling, and I find it unbiblical. And I know this is shocking, and I'd be, please talk to me about it. I'd love to talk further about it, because I just want to do what God says. I've tried to share Jesus with people whose lives are a complete wreck. Our youth pastor, for example, picking on him today. All right. I tried to share Jesus with people, their lives are a complete wreck. Maybe you can relate to this. There's no evidence of a spiritual life. There's no evidence of a relationship with Jesus. They are a complete wreck. And I'm trying to share the gospel with them because that's what saves. But I've been stopped by this person that I'm trying to share the saving message with. And they said, "You're wasting your time, preacher. I'm already saved. I accepted Christ as a child." Let me tell you what that is. They are claiming salvation based on fulfilling a requirement. They're saying, "Oh, sorry, I already checked that off. You're too late, already done it." That's what that is. It's not based on a relationship with Jesus because it's not there. So if salvation is Jesus, if salvation truly is Jesus, and you want to continue that thought, I think we need to rethink salvation. Many times they might reference a scripture like John 3:16 or Romans 10:9 to back up this point. I want to tell you that we absolutely believe these scriptures. But is it the moment of salvation? That brings me to point two. Jesus says to endure. Look at somebody, say endure. Matthew 24:13. "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." King James, Old King James says, "He that endures to the end will be saved." According to Jesus, the moment of salvation comes when you've endured to the end. These are his words. Believing and confessing isn't the moment you are saved. It is the moment of your first step. Now you hang with me. You've got to understand what I'm saying here. I am saying that believing and confessing is powerful, and it is necessary, and it is needed. It is the first step in your journey. Is it salvational? You bet. It's a step towards Jesus. But according to Jesus, you need to endure to the end to be saved. Speaking of believing and confessing, I love to see this first step taken. I love to see it taken. It's exciting, but it is the starting line and not the finish line. There are other steps you can take towards Jesus. How many knows there's always another step you can take towards Jesus? The guy preaching to you today needs to take a step towards Jesus. There's always another step you can take towards Jesus. As believers, we must continue to work out our salvation. We read that. Continuing to take steps towards Jesus is part of this enduring Jesus relationship that we're talking about. Let's look at the birth of the church. The church was born in what book of the Bible? In what chapter? Acts chapter 2. We want to be a first century church living in a 21st century world, right? We need to know that, Redemption Church. Let's look at the birth of the church in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit was poured out on 120 believers in the upper room. Peter starts telling a crowd of unbelievers about Jesus. Do we know this story? He's telling unbelievers about Jesus. Let's read about it. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is what Jesus is doing right here. He's preaching. This is what Peter's doing. He's preaching Jesus to these people. Why? Because Jesus is salvation. Verse 37 of Acts 2. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" This is what they said. Wow. Can you say this is a big question? In this one moment, they are believing Jesus is Lord and Messiah. In that moment, they're like, we've just heard the gospel. Now what should we do? In this one moment, they became believers. But they didn't just stop there. They felt convicted for their sin. And they wanted to make right between them and God. They are asking this question. What can we do to be saved? We just killed the Messiah. We know that was bad. What can we do to be saved? How will Peter respond? Let me tell you real quick. This is not how Peter responded. You listen to me right now. This is not how Peter responded. He doesn't say, "Congratulations, you believe he's Lord and Messiah. You are saved." He does not respond that way. He does not say, "Do you verbally accept Jesus as your personal Savior?" He does not lead them through a sinner's prayer. He doesn't try to get them to join his newly founded denomination. "Would you like to join the Peters? Praise God. Would like to talk to you about tithing." He doesn't do any of those things. This is not just some random moment. It's the birth of the church. This is how Peter responds. Acts 2:38. Someone asks, "What do I need to do?" Here's what Peter does. "You took one step. I'm going to reveal to you the next step." Yeah. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter was not giving them a to-do list to earn salvation. It's not a to-do list. Check this off and this off and this off and then you're saved. That's what you do. No, he was saying that there are more steps past believing. You believe Jesus is Lord and Messiah. I'm going to tell you there's another step. And you better believe this step takes you closer to Jesus. And you better believe that every step you take closer to Jesus, it's salvational. Because he is your salvation. Believing is a great first step, and we celebrate it when people make that step. But there are steps beyond believing. And your Bible says you need to take those steps. Listen up, as good as believing is, James chapter 2:19 says this. This is shocking. Get ready. "You believe that there is one God." Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Believing is great, but there are steps past it. And according to James, this is awful, but it's what James said, so I'm going to line up with James. "Congratulations, you believe as much as the devil does now." Is that what he said? That's what he said. Throw that scripture up one more time. Look at it. You believe there is one God. You believe. Good. Even the devils believe that. I'm not making light of belief. It is the first step. And all of us had to take that first step. And it's a salvational step. But you got to go past it. I want you to go past belief today. Redemption Church, I want you to go past belief today. In Acts 2:37, people asked for more steps. And in Acts 2:38, Peter gave them more steps to take them what? Closer to Jesus. And here they are. Repent. Is repentance salvational? Peter thought so. When they asked, what do we need to do? Peter mentioned repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is turning towards Christ and turning away from any other thing, including sin. Repentance will take you closer to Jesus. Have you taken this step? Peter then tells him to be baptized. Is baptism salvational? I'll know I'm going to ruffle some feathers with it, but I'm going to tell you, Peter thought so. When they ask, what can we do to save ourselves from killing the only salvation the world has ever known, Jesus Christ, what can we do? He says, you need to be baptized in that Messiah's name. Water baptism identifies you with Jesus Christ. I can think of no better way to make a public confession that you believe and that Jesus is your Savior other than being baptized in his name. But Peter goes further than talking about confession with baptism. He says it is for the remission, for the erasing, for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38. Forgiveness, erasing, forgiveness of your sins. Just tell me, just honestly, does that sound important to you? So have you taken that step? If you've not taken that step, we want to talk to you about it. We want to challenge you to take that step. It takes you one step closer to Jesus. Peter tells them that they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit salvational? Is that a step we should take as believers? Well, Peter thinks so. Salvation isn't about a list of requirements. It's about getting closer to Jesus. There is a way to get so close to Jesus that his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is living inside you. That's how close you get. Have you taken that step? To argue your need for a step towards Jesus, to argue that need to take this next step towards Jesus, it's basically saying, I'm close enough. To say, I don't need to be baptized, or I don't need to repent, or I don't need to experience the Holy Spirit, or I don't need to trust the Word of God, or anything else. We can go down this list a long ways, but to say, I don't need to do that. To say that would be to live by a requirement list and not by a relationship with the Savior. Let's get real. Have you ever regretted taking a step towards Jesus? Have you ever regretted taking a step towards the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? This guy hasn't. If I've ever made any right decision, it's been taking a step towards him. And if you had a chance to do it all again, wouldn't you make that same step towards Jesus? Wouldn't you have done them sooner, actually, if you could? There is nothing better in life than taking a step towards Jesus. So take a step. Here's another question we get. So am I saved? It's kind of crazy stuff. There's always seeming to be another step. Am I saved? And the stuff about enduring to the end, so that means I'm not saved right now. Well, stick with me. No one's running out yet. Thank you. This is an important question. Let me ask you some questions. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? What he did on the cross? Do you believe that was for you? Do you believe that you can't be saved outside of Jesus? You believe that? Are you walking towards Jesus in that belief? Are you actively pursuing that relationship with him? Are you continuing to work out this saving relationship? Do you love Jesus? You want to know if you're saved. Remember, saved isn't a ding. It's a person. So do you love this person? If salvation is Jesus, let's start there. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to be with Jesus in this life and in the next? Are you going to endure to the end? Whatever comes my way, I want to be with Jesus. If that's in your heart and you're living out life with that, you're asking if you're saved. Are you going to walk out every step he gives you? Are you willing to do that today? If you receive new information from the Word of God today, and I think maybe some people did today, are you going to walk into it or are you going to resist it? Salvation is Jesus. Do you have him? Salvation is not a denomination. Salvation is not a really cute sermonette where someone then prayed a prayer. Salvation is Jesus. So do you have him? That's the question. You want to ask if you're saved. That's not the question. Do you have Jesus and do you know him? Is he real to you? Does he speak to you? Does he live within your heart? That's the question. Do you have him? Do you have him? Not a list of requirements. Do you have Jesus today? So you may have received some new information today. Are you going to resist it? Are you going to embrace it? I'm going to call our musician. What day is it? Anybody know what day is it? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I'm coming to a close, but I want your full attention. How important is today if today is the day of salvation? How important is it that you came to church today? It's the day of salvation. How important is it that you give everything to God before you leave church today? Because today is the day of salvation. We're going to be opening up this altar today. How important is it that you come to this altar today? Because today's not just any day. It's not just September 1st. It is the day of salvation. Should you be fortunate enough to wake up tomorrow? We all know that tomorrow is not guaranteed, right? Should you be fortunate enough to wake up tomorrow? When tomorrow comes and you take your Bible and you open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, you know what it's going to say? It's going to say, now is the day of salvation. That's what it's going to say tomorrow. Let me tell you, I have never opened up the Bible and it told me tomorrow is the day of salvation. It has never told me yesterday was the day of salvation. So sorry you missed it. Salvation is always today. And we hear this phrase often. I got saved back in 1998. I got saved back in some date. If we live by a requirement list, then salvation will always be yesterday. It'll always be what I did then, yesterday. And man, those were good old days. And how many of us, man, I've seen churches, I've seen Christians captured in, man, those were good days back then. I was so close to God then. I wish I could get back to that. Wake up! Today is the day of salvation. What you experienced back in 1998, it's here today. It's here today because it's a person and he's here today. It's Jesus. God wants you to know that salvation is today. And that is good news because on my worst day, it's the day of salvation. There have been times in my life where I was so ashamed of what I'd done. I'd done stupid things. I have thought stupid things. I've thought awful, shameful things. If you knew the things that went through my heart and through my mind, I would be so embarrassed and ashamed. The great news is even in that dark day, it was the day of salvation. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're worried about today. But I got good news for you. Do you know what today is? Do you know what today is? It's the day the Lord has made. And it's the day of salvation. In my current struggle, Salvation is always available. Amen. What if you lived life today like you needed Jesus to save you? And this is the final thing. This whole requirement list, here's really what it's robbed us of. We are no longer living like we need Jesus to save us. That's crazy. It should not be that way. You need Jesus to save you, not just back in 1998 at an altar. You need Jesus to save you today. You need him to save you tomorrow. You need to save you every moment. He is salvation. Salvation is a person, and you're drawing closer to him. You need it every day. You need Jesus to save you today. This pastor needs Jesus to save him today. We focus too much on the first steps of salvation that we always forget to take the next step. And there's always a next step. This Christian life is never meant to be, all right, congratulations, you did it. Paul himself said, I have not obtained. He was still running the race. He still had steps to take. Let me tell you, somebody today, all of us today, need to ask ourselves this, what is the next step? Everyone has a next step. What is your step today? We've talked about repentance, baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Someone needs to take that step today, but not just that. If you've done all those things, you need to stir up that gift in you. That's a step you need to take. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. That's a step you need to take. You need to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a step you need to take. There's always a step that you need to take. And that's why we open these altars every week. That's why we're so passionate about everybody coming down here. Because guess what? Today is the day of salvation. And you need to take a step towards Jesus. I want everybody to just close their eyes. I'm going to pray over us right before I open this altar. Jesus, Lord, in your name, I know we threw a lot of people, and I know I preached too long, and I know it's hot in here, and I know we've got all kinds of stuff going on in our life, and we're worried. But right now, I just want you to come invade us. I want you to come and wash all that stuff away, take it all away. Lord, reveal yourself, because you are all that matters. You're all that matters to me and every person in this life. Lord, reveal yourself in this house. God, Lord, as we come to this altar today, I want you to bring people to new steps. I want you to speak to us, and I want you to move in us. Move in your church, Lord. Not this denomination, but this people. We are your people. Move in us. These altars are open. Come already. If you need prayer in this place, you just come in the first 2 feet. We are so glad to pray with you. If you want prayer, you just come right in the first 2 feet. We'll pray with you, and God is going to meet your need. You come, Nathan, you sing. Come in this place, worship him, and seek him. Today is that day of salvation. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com, and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.